today on Real Radio.
To believe that Jesus Christ is coming back any moment and then by the Holy Spirit prepare for the next 25 years, think about it. That's discipline. You know what that's called? Occupying till he comes. You've got to plan for the future, but you need to expect, like Paul the Apostle, for Jesus to return any moment. That's a tough way to live. All of us are called to live that kind of a Christian life.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack in a special episode called Interview with Jan Markell. It was in her teens when she came to faith in Jesus Christ. Jan came from a Jewish home and has a very high view of Scripture, especially as it relates to cultural issues. Jan also has a radio program that airs on over 830 stations in America and over 24 other countries across the world. Around 2003, Jan started a prophecy conference, and today it's become one of the largest prophecy conferences in the country. This interview is from our Happening Now series. To hear more, go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org. In this interview, Pastor Jack and Jan will be discussing the top issues from 2018 as they relate to Bible prophecy. First and foremost is the issue of globalism. The global agenda is blossoming in Europe. There's a long-standing conflict going on between the globalists and the nationalists. The globalists are for a new world order with one global leader. The nationalists are for separate nations, each having their own leader. So today, on day two of this special interview, Pastor Jack and Jan tell us that Christians are to watch out for deceivers and for their what is called doctrine of demons. We live in an age that craves spiritualism. Supernatural evil is rising with staggering momentum. Satan knows his days are numbered, and the time is short before Christ returns to bring judgment on the earth. And now, continuing his special episode called Interview with Jan Markell, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
You know, I don't know if you guys know this. I don't know if you're familiar with that term, grave soaking. But you are familiar with some names. I probably shouldn't say them because they'll sue me. I'm not stupid. But there's certain ministers that kind of travel together in a group. They minister together in a group. I don't know why, but they all seem to be in Texas and what else? Texas, maybe Oklahoma, a couple of them. But they got this thing, and they've been around a long time. And you can search hard. Don't use the term grave soaking. They used a different term 25 years ago. But some of the guys that you can turn on TV, and your TV this coming Sunday, you can turn them on your television set. They have gone to the grave sites of Dwight L. Moody, for example. Yeah. Who's great, don't get me wrong. Yeah. Dwight L. Moody, Moody would have been there, he would have jumped up and knocked him out for doing this. But
he would have.
But one very famous guy went and laid on the top of the grave of Catherine Coleman. And he said that he's felt her spirit come into him and that his ministry since then has had tremendous power. And you can turn them on Sunday morning.
And folks, this is the doctrine of demons.
Doctrines of demons.
This is the doctrine of demons. You don't want to go down this path. You don't.
But you say, Jan, those are famous people. Uh-huh. The Bible says, men from among yourselves will come out of you. There'll be deceivers in the last days. How do you think they're going to deceive? Because they would have won us over in some way, shape, or form in the first place. This is dangerous stuff. And so what she's saying, you say, well, I've never heard of such a thing. That can't be real. This has been going on for a long time. And some of these guys they use this as a pathetic example. Do you remember when the young man died and Elijah laid on top of the body and the body arose from the dead? That's how they justify their acts. But this is absolutely insane. But it answers to this issue. Why? Why would such actions draw such crowds? Because we live in an age that is hyper for spirituality and spiritism. And so, Jan, can you talk to us about the things that you see, the stuff that you've analyzed regarding the craving for spiritual things that we're seeing right now in the world?
Yeah. Well, the supernatural, yeah. I mean, good and bad.
Sure.
I mean, one of the things, of the 10 points I have, tragically, that I've seen escalate off the chart would be the rise of evil, supernatural evil. I've got some pictures that I use as illustrations. We're not real visual tonight, but the rise of evil is just absolutely staggering. Do you know that last October 31st, Halloween, there were tens of thousands of churches all across America that were doing some form of activity, I don't want to say in honor of Halloween, but trying to have the dancing skeletons on the platform. I've got pictures of it. There's videos of it online. It's unbelievable. I mean, again, these are the literal doctrine of demons that we should be fleeing from. What does the Bible say about evil, and particularly keeping children away from things like this? And yet here we have churches that are celebrating it. There's a new line of Disney clothing called, it's just children's clothing. Evil never looked so good, is how they market it. So evil is being glorified, and I think this is one of the 10 most stunning things to happen in the last, obviously it's been going on for decades, but it's just sort of blossomed in this last year. When we have the tragic shootings, how often have you heard the killer say, I heard voices telling me to do it? And you know why it's happening? Satan knows his days are numbered, and so he's picking up steam. And he's trying to make a last hurrah. And we can push back. We can stop, as the church, we can stop that. We can at least slow it down. And we need to be aware that it's going on. We need to be aware that it's going on. The other thing related to this, not so much doctrine of demons and things like that, Jack, but is the apostasy raging through our church today.
Talk about
it. And that is heartbreaking. It is just heartbreaking. And I've already touched on a couple of the issues that's going on here, but the difficulty for people to find a church with sound doctrine. That's why they turn to you. They're turning to guys like Amir, Pastor J.D. Farag, some others as well, but they keep referring to you three. Almost every other email I get, it's referring to you three. And the fact that the greatest news there is and the greatest hope there is, that's the blessed hope, has been silenced in the pulpit. This is across the board, at least in the Western church, across the board. The news that the king is coming has been deemed as irrelevant, out of date, unpopular, will keep folks away. We have a building program that lasts 10 years, and you're telling me Jesus is coming next week?
That's hilarious.
We've got to focus on our building program. So, I mean, there's 100 reasons pastors don't feel qualified. They don't feel perhaps adequately taught in seminary. They simply haven't figured out which theology. Is it amillennialism? Is it premillennialism? Is it pre-trib? Is it mid-trib? Oh, yeah. Is it pre-wrath? Is it post-trib? What is it? We haven't quite figured it out, so they stay away from it.
I wish that we could have had a camera this last Sunday, backstage. You know, Dr. Heinzen wasn't well, so he honestly tried to avoid as many people as he could because he was sick. He was so kind, he gave me his sickness. But that was a gem back there. If we could have recorded what he was talking about, because it's exactly what Jan just said a moment ago. He was telling me, he said, Jack, Moody, Liberty, Multnomah, Dallas, DTS, Dallas Theological Seminary, all of the pastoral classes, all of them, of these universities are rapidly declining. They can't get enough students to fill up the classes with the professors for the first time in American history for ministry. He said, people don't care. People don't care. And I said, why is that? He says, because students are coming from churches that are not, listen to this, and she said it a moment ago, they're not serious about the return of Jesus Christ, so they have no, what's the word, urgency to preach the word and go to Africa and go to, Zimbabwe and go to California and preach the gospel to the lost because he said, and he did the pathology of it, because the churches are not teaching Bible prophecy. He goes, that's always the key, that when Bible prophecy is not being taught in a church goes lazy, apathetic, and becomes what you're passionate to fight, a social church. It becomes nothing more than a moral gathering, a membership. And he said, when you lose the desire or the understanding, Jesus could come back today, let's go preach. Jesus could come back today, let's go help the homeless. And you know how much discipline it takes? I love what she said a moment ago. Do you know how hard it is to believe that Jesus Christ is coming back any moment and then by the Holy Spirit prepare for the next 25 years? Think about it, that's discipline. You know what that's called? Occupying till he comes. You've got to plan for the future, but you need to expect, like Paul the Apostle, for Jesus to return any moment. That's a tough way to live. That is a discipline. Yeah. And yet all of us are called to live that kind of a Christian life. You go to work, you pay your bills, you raise your kids in Jesus, you plan for their future. Listen, mom and dad, you save money for your kids. That's what the Bible says. Don't live off your kids. You're supposed to fuel your kids in the future. Yet at the same time, be ready for the Lord's return. That takes discipline. But the social gospel world we're living in is just creating a nothingness church. The second election of Barack Obama, he never got around to it because there were too many issues. God delayed and derailed Barack Obama in the second term. His second term, Barack Obama was going to launch a community awareness outreach across the United States in every city that would take up the challenge to host a community outreach to take away graffiti, fix old people's fences and homes. It was going to be at 10 o'clock in the morning, once a week. I'll give you one guess as to what day of the week it was going to be. Who needs church? Every millennial would have flocked to that because it makes you feel good. You're doing something and Barack Obama's got his thumbs up to it. And every time, this, you don't know this, every time behind the scenes that he was getting ready to launch it, some crisis came up and he was derailed from it. Guess what? When I heard that, I got a cold chill down my spine because there ain't a church on the planet that can compete with that kind of Sunday morning activity. And it would have gone over like gangbusters, right? Think of that. That's a doctrine of a demon in a way, yeah?
Well, social justice has come in to the church like a tornado. It has just come in, swept in, and the kind of things you're talking about, the doing good things, doing good works, social justice, cause of the immigrants, all those kinds of issues have taken over the evangelical church. I'm not going to get into naming names, but I mean, it is of crisis proportion. Yes. It's of crisis proportion. And I'm hearing from pastors, all denominations, but heavily, very solid denominations, certainly at one time, and some individual churches, very solid at one time, that are caving to the social cry of social justice. We have to do good. Well, but then that's what gets in the pulpit. That becomes the purpose, even more so than winning lost souls. Would be making room for the immigrant instead of, that would be the focus instead of winning the lost. So it's a serious, and I think it's an end time thing. I really do. I think it's all a part of the not giving heed to sound doctrine.
That's right.
For all, that's one of the most prominent end time signs is apostasy. Jesus talked about that more than almost anything else. The writers of the New Testament talked about that almost more than anything else, putting it in a last days context. So that's sort of the good side, is that it's another sign, it's another herald of his coming. It's a little bit like when we watch really dark headlines, so hard to watch, if we can put it into a context of the headlines are a herald of his coming, it makes them a little more bearable. And that's another sign of the 10 that I had, and that is and you folks are living witnesses to the escalation of the birth pangs. Now, the birth pangs really, a lot of this blossoms in the tribulation, a lot of it.
Yeah.
Some of the things we're talking about blossom in this. But if they're in the tribulation, and they're casting a shadow now, it's warning signs for us. And look, I've heard from your fire victims. I featured one on air last weekend, told her story. She lived in paradise, mm-hmm. and you know paradise is gone, you know that. She and her husband and her dog made it out. And some of the Calvary chapels are stepping up to help a lot of the people there. But her story, Jack, it was just heartbreaking. Then I heard from a survivor of Malibu fires as well. And as awful as they were, and they were unspeakable, you know what? The tribulation is going to be so much worse. Get your loved ones saved soon so that they can avoid this, because what's coming, church will be gone, but what's coming is unspeakable. Just read Revelation, read the seals, the bowls, the judgments, the vials, the plagues that are coming upon this earth while the church is enjoying heaven for those 7 years. But we have got to be winning the lost while there is time. Because when you see, you just take the little microcosm of what happened, say, in paradise, and you apply that to the whole world. Just think about that for a moment. It's unthinkable.
That's right.
It's unthinkable. If you've got someone you love, hey, that's unthinkable.
That's right.
Occupy until I come. That's one of the ways we occupy, is to win the lost while there's time. If there's anything you remember from the two of us tonight, please remember that time is so short. It is so short. God's sending one warning signal after another, after another, after another. Time is short. Make good use of it, please.
I'm listening to her right now, and I remember when Lisa and I were married, and we didn't have kids yet, and when we heard things like this, we would, as a young couple, should we have kids? Should we? And, you know, you go through this. Should we have kids? Should we try to get a house? I mean, Laura can come back. And then just the freedom that what Jan just said a moment ago. Occupy till I come. Just one foot in front of another. Plan on living your life. Go for it. And live big for Jesus. Mr. Pastor, I'm just now enrolling into law school. Go for it. Be the best lawyer in the world. We need godly lawyers. And doctors and moms and dads. Go for it. But listen, don't let anyone tell you, like they accused Jan and I of, oh, you're just telling people to go sit on a roof and wear their bed sheet and look up and wait for Jesus. No, we're not.
No.
Only a lunatic would do that. Okay? No, no, no. And so it should cause you. Now look, you need, and that's why we have, for example, the call ministry for you to be trained in, evangelism. But if you don't want to do that, at the very least, can you at least, and this goes to everyone who's viewing right now, we know we'll get hundreds of thousands of views from tonight. If you can't share the gospel with someone, I don't know why you can't, I know it's terrifying, but if you can't do it, can you at least invite them with you to a Bible teaching church? So I'm too scared to share the gospel. Okay, look, we'll deal with that later. In the meantime, invite your unsaved friend to church. Well, what if they don't like it? It's not your business. Well, what if the message, it's not your business. Leave it up to God. Let him take care of that, okay? That's you're just to invite them. So, Jan, where do you see right now with what's going on? I already know the answer to that, but right now, Benjamin Netanyahu and Trump are both under great attack.
They are.
Well, how do you see this playing out from a biblical perspective?
Well, Israel loves Donald Trump. I mean, they love him. Moving the embassy to Jerusalem from Tel Aviv was huge. There are some in Israel, and Amir is far better authority on this than I am. There are some in Israel who believe Donald Trump, because he's a builder, he's going to build them the third temple. Now, you know, that's probably nonsense, but who knows? I mean, stranger things have been known to happen. They've got Donald Trump on a coin with King Cyrus. I've seen the coin.
On the other side, yeah.
Yeah, and then on the back side is an image of the coming temple. So we're back to that temple talk again. So it's just a unique relationship. Trump and Netanyahu were friends long before this.
Long-time
friends. I believe Donald Trump is probably the greatest president friend Israel has ever had, and I know Amir would second that. When Harry Truman voted back on May 14th, 1948, with the United Nations, yes, Israel should become a nation. May 14th, he was the first, and he signed that paper, and then he said, "I am Cyrus." So the idea of a president being equivalent to Cyrus has been going on for 70 years. Now Donald Trump comes along and they're comparing him. Remember, Cyrus allowed the Jews to come back from the Babylonian exile and build their temple. So that's why some of these presidents, Harry Truman thought he could be Cyrus equivalent. And now, anyway, that's a long answer to your question, Jack, but it's a unique relationship.
Yeah, it is.
The relationship between America and Israel is unique. Harry Truman did a brave thing back in 1948. He was being pressured by his cabinet people. Don't do this. Don't go along with this foolish independent nation of Israel. And Truman said, "Nuts to all of you. I'm going along with this. This is the right thing to do." And so he started the trend. Obviously, we know a lot of them came along in between. Some were good, some were bad. And then comes Donald Trump. And he did the second most courageous thing, and that is move that embassy to Jerusalem. And that is no small thing when you think of all the men who said, "I'm going to do it," never got around to it.
One other nation moved their decided today to move their embassy to Jerusalem. Honduras.
Honduras.
Was it Honduras?
Yes.
Yeah.
You folks know why you're blessed? You bless
Israel,
right?
We love Israel.
Right?
I mean, we love the word of God, and in that is the support of Israel.
Yeah. Genesis 12:3 is a promise of blessing or cursing.
Yep.
Of the nation, of the ministry, of the president, of the ministry leader, of the pastor, of the denomination. If they bless or they curse, there are some blessings or some consequences. One of the reasons you are blessed, I have no question at all, is that you have stood with Israel. It's so
Absolutely.
Important. It's so important.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a special episode called Interview with Jan Markell. Thanks for listening, and our prayer is that during these unique times, you'll come to realize the urgency to call upon the name of Jesus Christ, and when you accept Him in your heart as your personal Savior, eternal life is secured in heaven with Him. And we'll continue on our next edition of Real Radio. If you're interested in more prophecy interviews, Pastor Jack has a series of episodes available called Happening Now. In these live broadcasts, Pastor Jack, along with special guests like Amir Safati, Don Stewart, and Jan Markell, consider current events that put Bible prophecy in the perspective of today's world and cultures. Bible prophecy has often been misrepresented, as you heard in this interview with Jan Markell. So the broadcasts are designed to support a safe and well-grounded understanding of God's Word in these unstable times. And every so often, you can catch a brand new broadcast of Happening Now on Facebook Live, along with a Q&A segment. And if you've missed any of the previous sessions, well, you can watch them on Pastor Jack's YouTube channel called Real Life with Jack Hibbs, or at our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.